Run! Go! Get to the jibber jabber!
Hi guys, welcome to episode 69 of the Jibber Jabber podcast, but only episode 2 of our YouTube series. How are we doing? How are you doing, Kev?
How are we doing? And everyone at home's like, yeah, hi, good. I'm probably falling asleep just waiting for you guys. I am good, man. It's been a long week, so I'm looking forward to sitting back with a wee brew and getting it the chat with you.
What are you drinking?
This is just Tennent's, but it's also accompanied by some number 7.
Wow. Man, how come you drink it all the time on these now, and I'm not drinking on them? It's weird. There's been a role reversal here that is uncomfortable for everybody.
Now, do you know what? It's that Christmassy period, you know, the run up to Christmas. So I think, I don't know, I tend to get a bit more, I get a wee bit more drinky when it gets close to Christmas.
A wee bit more drinky.
Drinky. It's almost offensive. It sounds offensive as fuck, doesn't it? It does, eh?
Well, I had a few beverages last night.
Yeah, I know.
I think I was on the 40 at some point.
just a wee bit.
No, it's a good. You might have noticed, people, I've got my new setup here. This is my newly opened and newly christened man cave that is finally done, and it looks fucking great, if I do say so myself.
It does.
But I've got a little bar in that corner, so I've got my optics on the wall, which is just far too handy. Just, I'll fancy a drink. Done. And my mate got me a last orders bell as well, which is
I noticed that. I noticed that. Fuck, which that'll never be rang. Gathered up.
Steaming at 2:30 in the morning.
Santa's coming.
You stop ringing that fucking bell.
Your new man cave is actually going to be our new deep dive location. Because yes, ladies and gents, the deep dive will return, and you guys will be voting. And when we do the deep dive, we're not just going to do it like this, what you can see, but we're actually going to get our production crew and have the 4K cameras set up with all the perfect light and audio. So it's going to be something quite spectacular for you guys to see exactly what you voted for.
It's going to be a lot better than this fucking lighting that I've got right now. I would have it lighter, but the problem I've got is it's overhead lighting, and it makes it look like I've been punched in the eyes. So I just refuse to do it.
For those of you that are listening to this purely on audio format, this is the reason you got to come to YouTube and check out our show, as we are now visible. You can now see the Jibber Jabber podcast in all its visibility. Just head to YouTube and type in Jibber Jabber podcast. We will be the first one at the top. You'll see, is it Conan O'Brien? It's below us.
Yeah, that's quite funny.
Take that, Conan O'Brien.
You know, honestly, actually, we should actually fucking nail that show with a cease and desist.
I know.
Because we had it first.
I don't know. Did we? I think he did.
No, I think we did.
Did we?
I think we did.
Right, I'm hitting him with a cease and desist that he'll never read. Just like all the requests we have to get the actors. In fact, not all of them, because we've had some really good actors coming on, which actually brings me to my next point. We will have a bonus episode for you guys. We recently watched a movie that we'll get to when it comes to what we've been watching, but stay tuned, because we have a really bonus episode coming up for you guys, which you should like, and it's been a good wee find for myself, but we'll get into that. So, today we talk about topic of the week. Pause for editing purposes. Topics of the week, J-Mac. Well, as we record this on the 28th, is it 29th that the fight's happening, or is it now, right?
It's happening on the 28th.
Right, yeah. So that time different thing, but it's at 4 in the morning for us. So I don't know if we'll be staying up to watch it. In fact, we should. Mike Tyson is coming out of retirement at the age of 53. Is it 53?
We probably should have looked that up before.
No, it's 54. He's 54.
Is it 54?
Right. 54, 100%. So he's coming out of retirement at the age of 54 to fight Roy Jones Jr. Now, I'm going to say this before we get in it, right? I am a fan of Mike Tyson's boxing, the same way I'm a fan of Chris Benoit's wrestling. No, okay. Quite keen on the guy based on the charges that's been in the past. I don't know how that all went down, because it's something I really didn't look into. But with the connotations that is attached to him, if that is in fact real and true, then it's a thumbs down for the guy. But you can't deny his boxing career. What are your thoughts on Mike Tyson?
On the man himself, I think he's definitely a different man now than he was back when he did his nasty, dastardly deeds.
Yeah, but what's redeemable, though? I mean...
I'm not saying it's redeemable. I'm just saying that he's a different person now, which is I mean, it's so apparent when you watch him in interviews. You see him on Rogan and stuff like that.
Aye, for sure.
It was about a year ago he was on it, and then he decided he was going to do this fight, and he was on the Joe Rogan show again, and he seemed like that old Tyson again. Like he was, mm-hmm. it wasn't quite as chill as he was the time before, because he was out his tits. You can't. The man himself, maybe not the best role model, but fuck me, what a fighter he was back in the day.
And maybe still is, though, right?
Well, that remains to be seen, but his training videos look pretty scary. I haven't seen any Roy Jones Jr. stuff. I did see him on Rogan as well. To be honest, I thought he came across as a bit of a tit. I know he's a boxer, and they all have to have some kind of ego, but his just seemed really pretty fucking high. And at the end of the day, this is a couple of old dudes having a scrap.
I don't know. I think there are certain people that the old dude thing just doesn't quite correlate to. Like, I still think Mike Tyson's gonna really show up tonight and smash fuck Roy Jones. Tyson's He's an animal.
It's gonna be a Creed versus Drago moment.
wait there. Are we talking Creed versus Drago as in like new Creed versus Drago, or as in like Rocky IV Creed versus Drago?
I mean the real one.
Right, Creed versus Drago. I don't think he's going to kill. but I think it.
Roll the damn call!
Yeah, no. I don't think it's going to go to that extreme, but I think it'll be. I don't see Tyson going down at all. If anything, it'll be a draw at the best, and Roy Jones really has to bring it.
Do you know what I just thought of there? I don't know why, but that moment in Rocky IV when he's holding Creed dying in his arms. And he says to him, he's like, "You're gonna make it. You're gonna make it." When has somebody ever made it in a film after somebody said that to him?
Oh, no, I don't think
you're gonna make it. No, yeah, motherfucker gone.
Hi, yeah. Shout out to Carl Weathers, who was previously on this show.
Ish,
mate. Were we talking to him? Did we film it?
Question. Yep.
He was on this show.
you also got to tell him about Apollo Creed's. Statistics.
Well, that's the thing. See, when you get with people that claim to be Rocky fans and they don't know specific trivia, that's very, very, I mean, it's not like it's hidden. You know, who won that third fight at the end of Rocky 3? Well, watch Creed, because that is answered there. And yet, Carl Weathers didn't know, and neither did the boy asking him, you know, who won that fight? Watch fucking Creed, you dafty.
Some of the questions that you hear getting asked at these conventions just make you want to rip your pubes out. I mean, remember that one guy who was asking the
every
most ridiculous
question.
Every question was just pointless or such a well-known answer that there's no point in asking anymore. The point in these situations you get in a Q&A with these people is to ask them questions that have never been asked before, or certainly that's not in the ether. You know what I mean?
It's something you can't Google.
Aye. And this guy, he asked questions of pretty much every celebrity that went on stage, and every one of his questions was horrendous.
Fucking shite.
Horrendous. And not only that, we encountered him in Manchester, and then I swear to God, the same guy was in Edinburgh as well.
Yeah.
If he's listening to this, mate, I don't know your name. I don't know your name, but I'm pretty sure you've got a Mancunian accent. So please, next time you want to ask a question, go and get something to eat, because nobody wants to fucking hear it.
Yeah, exactly. Aye. So
any road. Why does this keep going out of focus? It's really doing my head in.
I think it's your lighting, mate.
Oh, maybe I.
But yeah, I think for anybody that doesn't know, that claims to be a Rocky fan, and you should know, the 2 out of 3 goes to Creed. Creed was the better boxer than Rocky. Rocky was the underdog. Creed was the better boxer. What it is. Right?
The question we were referring to was who won the fight at the end of Rocky 3, which was the
Paul Creed.
I mean, it was Creed that won, but that's been nearly 40 years before we found out who actually won that fight. So it was pretty cool to see that in Creed. Other than that, I can take or leave the Creed films.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe they removed the Drago and Rocky fight from Creed 2.
Mm.
I don't understand that. It's what everybody was watching the film to see.
Yeah. I think, though, to be fair, they're quite old. Nady wants to see a couple of old guys fighting. which brings us back to this main point.
Mate, I'm going to be surprised if the two of them can stay up till 10 o'clock.
That's funny. Hey, I don't know. Do you reckon, I think Tyson's going to... You can't bet against them, really.
The two of them are excellent boxers, man. It's anybody's game. I think technically, Roy Jones is a much better fighter.
Yeah.
But Tyson always had the power.
Yeah.
Not saying that Roy Jones Jr. didn't have power. He did. His arms are ridiculous. It's for me, it's anybody's game. I want to see Tyson win it because I just know more about Tyson than Roy Jones
Jr. He's like you get Muhammad Ali and you got Mike Tyson. Some would say Floyd Mayweather. I would put Floyd Mayweather there, but people don't enjoy his matches because they say that it's not entertaining enough. But as Floyd Mayweather says, I'm not there to be entertaining. How'd you win a boxing match? You don't get hit. And I don't get hit. You know what I mean?
Imagine how frustrating it would be fighting somebody that you just can't hit. You can't even land one wee solitary blow.
Yeah, and you know what? I think as far as boxing goes, Floyd Mayweather is better than Mike Tyson and Muhammad Ali. They lost. Floyd never, like, how can you ignore that? The numbers don't lie.
I think the problem is his personality.
Tough shit. His personality ain't going to make him any shit out of a boxer, though, are they?
<That's true>.
Realistically, if your money's going on someday, right? Muhammad Ali versus Floyd Mayweather. Who's your money going on?
Mayweather.
The guy that's no being beat, right?
Yeah. Yep. I mean,
let's take emotion out of the thingy. You know, who was the greatest ever? Well, the numbers say it right there. Lost 0 matches, lost how many matches? Who was the greatest? You're going to go with the guy that lost nay matches. Zero. Right, that is true. What it is. Right? True. Floyd is the best. Here we go, I say it. And yes, you can find us at jibberjabberscotland@gmail.com or anywhere on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Come and give me shite. Floyd's no the greatest, right? He is. Whatever. Yes, he never lost. He is. It so is, right?
You know what? I'm just going back to this fight for a second. I've just got an image. I've got an image of, like, whenever the bell rings between rounds, they'll go back to their corner and they'll be like steeping their feet in that. You know, we're putting the feet in one of the giant slippers, you know? pulling out a big newspaper.
The really cool thing that Mike Tyson is doing is he created his own league called All Icon Boxing, right? Which basically is you need to be an icon in order to enter this league. And the reason he said this was because when you're an icon, right, and people want to see you, and you're not as great as the young guys because it's a young man's game, right? Especially with athletic sports and stuff. So he was like, people still want to see the icons as much as they know, right, that they probably shouldn't be in the same league. They still want to see them.
Mm-hmm.
But, right? And it's not, especially if you can still do it, just not as good as the younger ones, but you can still do it. Who's to say you can't open your own league and have the people that can still do it, but not necessarily at the same pace as the younger ones. So why not have one where all the icons can go and fight? So this might be a new trend of getting old retired boxers or fighters to come and just kind of do it.
Oh, my hips!
That would be quite funny, right?
it's just where does it stop? I mean, how old are you going to get? Remember that grudge match with Stallone and Robert De Niro? No. Did you ever see that?
No. No?
It was basically, it was another box. It was a boxing movie. Huh. And it was basically De Niro and Stallone are retired boxers. And the kind of question goes out as to who was the better boxer. And they end up having a fully fledged boxing match now.
Is that no Rocky 3 right at the end?
What do you mean?
The both boxers, who was the best? Round 3.
It is that, but it's a whole film about it. And Kevin Hart's in it as well.
And does Sly play Rocky by any chance?
No, I can't remember.
He played another boxer that wasn't Rocky. Where there?
Let me just find out what he's
called. Well, I suppose if it's all right for Al Pacino, he can play another gangster with it being Scarface.
It was Robert. Exactly. So we have. Well, let's see, it was called Grudge Match.
Was it not Raging Bull or something like that?
What's that?
Raging Bull. That's Robert De Niro, right?
That's De Niro, boxer. Yeah. And he played Ray LaMotta. His name's Henry Razor Sharp.
Yeah, fuck, man.
So the thing is, the film itself wasn't terrible, but it wasn't great. But it was entertaining enough. But De Niro, I keep going to say Rocky. Stallone still looks the part, you know what I mean? But De Niro just, no, don't get me wrong, he got quite fit, but he's just old man fit. You know, he's still... Doesn't he have a good body or anything like that? Whereas Stallone just, he was just, his muscles were bursting out his skin.
Yeah. Well, speaking of guys that might not be as fresh as they once were, we said goodbye recently to The Undertaker in WWE. And I know you're someone that's kind of dipped your toe into wrestling, not so much myself, me being someone that's well vetted in the knowledge and back catalogue of all things wrestling. But The Undertaker, who has had a career 30 years in the WWE, 30 full years of him just coming in, taking names, digging graves and leaving. The Undertaker said goodbye, and man, did you happen to see the clip?
No.
The Undertaker came. So Vince McMahon, who looks like a fucking... You've seen the House of Wax, right?
Yeah.
See when someone in the House of Wax is like that, but they're in there. That's Vince McMahon now. He looks fucking ancient, right? It looks like he's ready to fall over and smash, right? No offense to the man himself, right? Guy's a legend, but he's old, and this is why he doesn't want to be on camera. But something, and I'm gonna take you down the wormhole a little here on wrestling, right? Just to kind of tell you how important this was. Vince McMahon doesn't come out to the ring anymore. He knows he's old, and he's like, nobody wants to see an old guy. So he's very well aware of that. So he will always avoid going to the ring, right? The Undertaker is his baby. He's the guy that stuck with him through everything, from the Monday Night Wars, through every period of wrestling, right? Undertaker was Vince's guy. Vince came up with the character Undertaker, which was based off of, Unforgiven, the movie.
Yes, yeah.
Right, that's what he wanted, was an Undertaker that came from like that kind of town. And Mark Calloway stepped into that role, right? At a time where WWE and wrestling was hokey, you know? We've got the Bushwhackers and Ultimate Warrior, and everybody had a hokey gimmick before the 90s came along and everybody started stripping back and becoming themselves, but dialed up to 12, right?
Yeah.
But Undertaker kept that character from the, you know, which we call the Federation period, right? So he wrestled guys like Yokozuna, Ultimate Warrior, people we now look at and go, wow, they're long gone. He started with those guys and gone through every era till now. Basically said, you know, I can't hang with the younger guys anymore, and that's when it's time to leave. I don't want to become a parody of what I once was. He said, I'd hate for my child, for someone to be in the audience, and it's a dad that used to watch me when they were a child, to turn to their son and go, you should have seen this guy when I was younger. He didn't want that. So he was like, it's time for me to hang up the boots. So Vince McMahon was in the ring and he was like, you know, tonight we say goodbye to The Undertaker, you know, someone whose career is legendary. There's not been one wrestling career that will ever match what The Undertaker's career was or is.
Mm-hmm.
And then some pretty cool visual effects. The Undertaker comes and basically says, for 30 years, I've taken souls, and now it's time for the Undertaker to rest in peace. To which he then kneels down and does his whole iconic kneel. And then you hear, oh, yes! And a hologram of Paul Bearer, his manager. Remember that guy with the urn? Paul Bearer?
No.
Not right. Well, he basically, when you think of The Undertaker, this guy was there. He was the manager. He was the guy who used to come up with the urn and would kind of control The Undertaker. Well, he died in real life about 5 years ago. Right. But a hologram of him appeared, and that was just, it was really special. It's like, for someone that doesn't know wrestling, it's like Rocky. It's like there being one more Rocky movie, right? And as he shuts the door on his career, he looks back and you hear Mick's voice. You hear Polly, right? Yeah. It's like that. It's absolutely like that. That's what kind of fan service it was. Do you know what I mean?
Do you know, the hologram thing definitely can work. I've seen it done. I went to see Queen and Adam Lambert a few years ago. And Adam Lambert is a great frontman.
Mate, right? I'm totally all for Adam Lambert. Yeah. What I love about him as well is he says, look, I'm not Freddie Mercury, not trying to be Freddie Mercury. I'll take his music and let it live through me. I'm not Freddie Mercury. And that's the best thing anybody could do.
Well, what I was going to say is at that gig they did a Freddie hologram, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know how emotional that was?
I feel like that just watching it.
Yeah.
Just watching it.
It definitely does work. A bit of me is like, now, like, did I wish I watched wrestling growing up? Maybe.
Oh, mate.
Because, well, not knowing nothing about it when it's such a big thing is a bit irritating, to be honest. But on the other hand, I was just never into it. I tried to watch it and I was just, sorry, I was one of these guys. That's fake. I'm not watching it.
Well, everything we watch is fake. This is the argument I say every. Everything we watch is fake unless it's a reality show. And which, by the way, sometimes the fucking reality shows are faker than the movies. Right?
Oh, absolutely.
Everything is. Yeah. And here's the thing, right? This is why. And I say this as someone who dabbled in wrestling, who spent quite a few years doing it, right? But I would never class myself as a wrestler. But the word fake is so demeaning because the injuries are real. The time you spend away from your family, the sacrifice, it's all very real. The only thing about it that you would class as fake is the fact that it's predetermined and you're working together. You're not trying to hurt the person, but you're trying to put on a show, you know, like a stuntman would. That's the only difference. And the reason that, I mean, say predetermined, that's fine. It's entertainment. And that's exactly, it goes with all kind of forms of entertainment. Pardon me, sorry.
Remember when I was the disgusting burpy farty drinky one?
I'm not farting, man. It was a burp.
It's a mouth fart.
That's a mouth fart. Hey, you've just came up with something. That's going on my MySpace. But so Undertaker basically rode off into the sunset, and the worst part about it was the fact that there was no audience there to cheer him off. Oh, because of COVID. But hey, WWE doing the best they can. But hey, 30 years to the greatest fucking wrestler that's ever fucking laced up a pair of boots. Oh, yeah!
I don't really have anything to drink, so I'll just...
Pickle juice! You're not drinking vinegar! You're drinking vinegar. Again, folks, this is why you need to go to the YouTube show, where you'll find us on youtube.com, Jibber Jabber Podcast. Jordan just took a big glop of vinegar.
A glop?
A glop. A glop.
A glop. Plop fiction.
Plop fiction. Speaking of stuff like plop fiction, it's time for what we've been watching. I'll kick this off, actually, right?
Yes, please do.
This kind of pertains to movies because there's a movie made on the first book, but the second, the sequel book to Ready Player One has just dropped, and I am halfway through it. Oh, yeah. It only came out like 2 days ago, and I'm halfway through it.
Right. How is it?
Well, I'm speaking to someone that's only watched the movie, right?
I turned it off. It was shite.
Ah, well, you see, you'll not say that about the book, right? The movie compared to the book, like anybody that ever reads a book will know, it's no the same. It's nothing. It's not the same, right? There are elements where I'm like, ah, that's quite cool, but nothing about the movie made me go, they've done the book justice. And I'm happy with the movie just being as it is. I'm fine with that. It's cool, right? I would probably have really enjoyed Ready Player One, the movie, had I not read the book for what it was, do you know? But the fact that I know the full story, the backstory, and I read the book like 7 times and I've got 2 copies of it. You want a copy?
Yeah, why not?
Will you read it?
Aye, why not?
Are you actually going to read it?
Aye, why not?
You're not going to. You're not going to read it. When you're ready to read it, I'll give it to you, right?
When I'm ready, player one, to read it.
Exactly. So I really loved the first one. The first one, it's my favourite book of all time, right? So the second one's come out, and I'm proper engrossed. I'm not going to spoil much here, right? But if for anybody that watched the movie, the basis of the story is kind of the same. You need to get 3 keys, which unlocks an egg, which gives you pretty much full control over Gregarious Games, which you basically own the Oasis. You are in God mode. Well, in the second book, right, time's moved forward 3 years, and Wade has a decision to make. And if he makes this decision, it may alter the path he's on and create a new hunt for 7 shards. And by the way, one thing I'm going to say, if you're going to read the book, I don't even care. Get this, right? Get this. Mind how I always say, if you're going to have a bad guy, have him be a bad guy. Yeah? Yeah. Now, if you're going to make a sequel, try and keep it the same bad guy, because then it's like, hey, he's still fucking bad, right? Rather than like, oh, what threat we got now? Or you can take care of that threat as easy as you did the last one. I like it when there's a consistent bad guy through all the movies. Yeah?
It's the Moriarty thing. You know?
Right. I like it when Voldemort, he was the bad guy through all of the... I mean, you had your arseholes, but Voldemort was the OG. He was the bad guy, right?
Yeah.
They're fucking keeping it the same bad guy. Yes. I was like, yes. All right. See when stuff like that happens. See when my favorite book ever, right, brings back the same bad guy. I'm like, ah, yes. So for me, I'm proper cheesing. I'm happy to do that. And probably by the next episode, I'll be able to tell you like what's happened on it. And you know, we'll actually get Jeff back on to talk about Ready Player One, because he actually, before we made the podcast, Jeff, who does the Brewgooders, remember Jeff?
Yeah, I remember Jeff. Yeah.
Well, he came on.
That was the Kentucky Goblins episode.
Yeah. He came on. Well, he actually was the one that got me into podcast, and I was a guest on his because I was a fan of Ready Player One, and I enjoyed being on a podcast so much, and I'd been thinking maybe I'll start one, but this kind of gave me the confidence to do it. And he's then since been on this one, but he does the Brewgooders. He also has written his own comic book called The Spirit of Enki. I've got it. And his second one's just coming out, so the link will be in the description for you guys to go and buy that. But we're going to have him on, because I done my very first podcast was me going on his to talk about that movie, and it done really well for his podcast at the time. So we'll have him on, man, to talk about it. And you can be the subjective guy that has to go back and watch the movie. And Jeff and I will give you some of the book knowledge, and it'll be a real cool episode. Look at your facial. Like, I don't want to go and watch a movie. You have to.
I know. I'll need to give it another chance. Aye, I just, once you get past the kind of nostalgic references in it, for me, there just was no substance to the film.
The thing is,
I'm not a gamer either. So it holds no appeal for me.
It does, though, because that era to which Ernest Cline talks about, right, in his books, that's your childhood. That's not even mine. I got, like, when you're from the 80s, right, the 90s see the arse end of the 80s. So I got the arse end, Sonic the Hedgehog, Joust, Pong, right, Atari. I got the arse end of that. I was moving forward. Keep moving forward, right? I got the arse end of that.
And I went into it.
You lived it, right? So a lot of the references to the music, it's all from your time period. That's why I'm saying you really need to check out the first book, which I'm going to send to you on audiobook.
Oh, you're sending it to me now?
I'm going to send it to you as an audiobook format, right? Because the audiobook, you can at least move around and day shit while you're listening to someone read it to you, right? So I'm telling you, when we do that episode, it's going to be class, because it's the best book I've ever read. The movie's right, but you need to watch the movie anyway, so we can kind of. But we'll get into that. Another I watched, which you're going to watch, is Best Thanksgiving Ever. This is
We're actually going to be speaking to the writer director of that one.
That's right. Well, it's funny. Our good friend, and we're doing his documentary, G. Tom Mack, Gerard McMahon. For anybody that doesn't know, he's the guy that done Lost Boys, Cry Little Sister, but he's done, you know, he's written songs for Kiss. If you don't know who G-Tom Mack is, then he'd be like, this guy, man, what is it? Who's G-Tom Mack? Hey, right?
yeah, I had no idea.
But we're he's one of our closest friends, but he done the full soundtrack for Best Thanksgiving Ever, which was written by David Paulus. If that's how you spell his name, then Paulus, that's how you say it. But so he basically writes and stars in this movie, and I watched it. He sent us the movie because we're gonna chat to him on the show. So we checked it out, right? You can only get it in America. So for all you American listeners, which, by the way, are our biggest audience is American, which is strange for a couple of Scottish folks, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Totally, man.
Yeah, man. So for you American listeners, go to your Amazon Prime and check out Best Thanksgiving Ever. For me, it kind of felt like I was watching a more serious American Pie, if that makes sense.
Okay.
What I like about it is sometimes you'll come across movies that you know were written by the same kind of guy that you are, like John Rooney, for instance, with High Times. Right up our street, right?
Yeah.
Right up our street. Well, this is the same. Simple wee things that made me laugh. Not so much the here's where you're supposed to laugh, but the parts that weren't obvious. Oh, sorry, am I fucking boring you? Am I fucking boring you?
I was up way too late last night.
Fucking hell. It has a feel of American Pie to it, but with a bit more serious kind of tone. What Eric Roberts makes his cameo in it as well. I don't want to ruin the movie for you because you've got to still see it, but there were several times where I laughed like this.
Right? the Kev laugh.
Yeah. And if I do that, that's it basically means you're on to a winner. It's a simple stuff. It's because every character in that movie, you know someone, and get this right, the main character is called Kevin.
it's so fitting.
It's not, it's absolutely not, right? It's if Kevin is someone, it's you and Todd mixed into one person. Like he basically looks through the window and sees his missus getting ploughed and is just like, cool, I'm just gonna take my flowers and get
that back. Sounds familiar.
No, but here's the thing, right, just to kind of relate the character to yourself, right? What would you do if you came at your house And you're about to walk in your house and you can hear somebody getting proper rattled and you look through your living room window and there's your wife with her legs up getting smashed. What would you do?
Well, once I'd finished...
Oh, brilliant, man. I didn't expect that.
Just, it's like, ugh, what are you doing?
Oh, mate, that was too good. That was too good.
You enjoy that? Eh?
You got me there. Oh, what? See, shit like that. This conversation is that movie, right? This is why, okay, for anybody listening at home as well, not sure how you can get it if you're from the UK, but... you're just not going to get it. But anyone from the US, check it out. Is that funny? That was class.
But, do you know, I seen somebody online. I'm on this Facebook group about ringing bells around the world on Christmas Eve. Do you know that? You know about this thing? It's like the whole world at 6 p.m. in their time is going to stand at the front doors like they did for the NHS and clap. We're going to stand outside and ring bells for Christmas.
They all sound like a load of bell ends.
Mate, honestly, there's this... People keep talking about Thanksgiving on this thing, right? Obviously, Americans, which is fine. That's a holiday of theirs. But somebody asked the question, and I'm going to do the voice that I imagine this person has. Like, so, do any other countries like do Thanksgiving except America? It's like, no.
We didn't care.
If we could, we'd probably come up with a better name for it than Thanksgiving. So, well, this is the day that we give thanks. What will we call it?
Well, here's the thing. Did they not go in and
Thanksgiving?
did they not go in and, like, smash fuck at all the Indian fellas? And then they're like, we're so thankful. that we managed to kick fuck at all these people and run them off their own land.
Hey, ho, 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 ho. They don't know about that.
We're so thankful that we had better weapons.
It's like, I'm praying to my one favorite American. Jesus.
I don't really know. I don't really know much about Thanksgiving. It's something I probably should look into more. But
I don't know. It's just it's another day to eat turkey, as far as I'm concerned.
Like Christmas.
But the annoying thing is it started filtering over here in the last 10 years or so with the fact that we get Black Christmas deals, which is a lot of shite.
Black Christmas deals?
Black Friday deals. I've got movies on the mind, man. That's the problem. Fucking Black Christmas. Black Friday deals. Black Friday is solely to do with Thanksgiving. So why it affects our economy, I don't fucking know. It's just stupid. Black Friday deal, everybody. It's like, what's Black Friday? Oh, it's to do with Thanksgiving. Right, I'm Scottish. Get yourself to fuck.
Hey, mate, you can't work a deal.
Mate, the annoying thing is all the deals are shite. All the deals are based on inflated prices. They'll put the price up for a couple of months before that, knowing that they could sell it, saying there was £30 off it on Black Friday. It's all about con. And my wife falls for that stuff all the time. She'll come home with something. So, see what I got? I was like, why did you buy that? Because it was on offer. I said, aye, but it's shite. Just because something's on offer doesn't mean you have to buy it.
So true. So true, man. What are you
sitting,
watching?
You're sitting there with your clothes hanging off, like holes in all your stuff. You're starving. And she comes home with an ornament. You're like, really?
What you been watching now that you've got your big projector up there in the cave?
Yes, over there is my cinema screen. This is basically like a little home theater, and it's so good, man. I'm watching movies on this that I wish I could see at the cinema.
Mate, we've been down that road. We've been down that road.
This is as close as like I can watch what I want. You know what I mean? It's and if,
mate, we had that opportunity before lockdown. We could watch what we wanted in an actual cinema.
Yeah, but it took months of planning and selling and all that. But this,
and we got paid nothing.
That's right. To be able to choose what I'm watching is just amazing. So I watched Saving Private Ryan on the big screen, which you don't realize how good that. I mean, everybody knows it's a great film, but you don't realize how good it is until you see it in
Omaha Beach. See when that boy gets shot in the pus.
It happens quite a few times.
The first one on the beach. And they're on Omaha.
You talking about
Beach?
The guy that gets shot in the helmet and then takes it off to look at it.
Man.
It's like ding. He's like, oh shit, boink. I shouldn't have taken that off. I was actually listening to a military guy talking about the helmets, and the helmets done fuck all. It was more for peace of mind than anything else. And all it resulted in was pieces of mind going everywhere. They were rubbish. They were, it was just like a thin piece of kind of pressed metal, and it did fuck all. The Kevlar ones have gotten out a lot better, but those World War One helmets were not worth shit.
I hear that they said that having a medic, you know, having a medic badge on you was like a target.
Pardon me. Technically, going by the rules of war, having a medic badge. A medic badge was basically you were invincible. They shouldn't shoot medics. It's one of the rules of war, is that you're not allowed to shoot medics and you're not allowed to shoot the chaplains.
Well, so, let's think about how fucked up that is.
The medics, the medics don't have weapons.
They did, didn't they?
No.
I thought that was only Andrew Garfield that didn't take a weapon.
No, it's probably why he ended up being a medic, because he wouldn't take a weapon.
No, but even the medics in that movie, we're talking about Hacksaw Ridge, for anybody that's not seen it, definitely check it out. Probably one of the best ones.
That was a film that I actually thought it was boring up until it kicked off, and it was absolutely amazing.
Well, here's the thing, right? Let's get into this a wee bit, right? See me, I'm all right with war movies.
By the way, sorry, if I'm wrong about that medics not having weapons things, I apologise, but that was my
understanding. Here's the thing, in that movie, right, set around the same kind of time period,
World War II?
Aye, right. Andrew Garfield didn't want a weapon, and they were trying to force him to take it because it was unheard of that the medic wouldn't take a weapon. And that's why I think maybe you might be incorrect. I don't know, right? And wasn't there, mate, right? Here's the thing, right? I wasn't a big Andrew Garfield fan until then. I thought as Spider-Man, he was quite bland.
Especially... I don't like Andrew Garfield.
No, not me. See, there's two people I've changed my mind on, right, over the last couple of years, and it is Robert Pattinson and it's Andrew Garfield. Andrew Garfield's performance in Hacksaw Ridge was fucking insane. I really enjoyed it. And Robert Pattinson, I saw him in two different things. There was something my wife was watching and I was like, he's so different in this, which was cool. But it was that other thing. Was it Henry VIII? No, Henry VIII. What was that thing that came out on Netflix where Robert Pattinson in it? He plays like
I think it was just called The Thing. He was playing the King of France, I believe.
Mm-hmm. What was that called?
The King. I'm sure it is called The King.
Something like that, eh? It was along the lines of Outlaw King. It was the story of Robert the Bruce, wasn't it?
That was Outlaw King.
No, but aye.
It wasn't Robert. This was just called The King.
Yeah. Was it? It was. 100%. I really think Robert Pattinson was good in that. And I'm really looking forward to seeing him in Batman. What are you reading?
I'm about the medics carrying weapons.
Oh, you're trying to pull it up, Jamie.
I'm so good at it, eh?
So don't worry, we'll wait.
So during World War II, for example, Allied medics serving the European and Mediterranean areas usually carried the M1911A1 pistol, while those serving the Pacific theater carried pistols or M1 carbines. When and if they used their arms offensively, they then sacrificed their protection under the Geneva Convention. What? Right, okay. So they could carry weapons for their own personal safety and to protect people they were caring for.
Mm-hmm.
But if they used the weapons, they were then allowed to be shot, I think, basically, is what.
Well, here's what we'll do. Anybody listening to this that may know a bit more about the medics or may know someone that told their story about being a medic in World War II, you can find us at www.jibberjabberpodcast.com, where you can find many different ways to contact us. You can even go to our Facebook profile, which is Jibber Jabber Podcast, or you can head to Jibber Jabber Podcast. Jibber
Podcast.
No, Jibber Jabber Scotland at gmail.com. And you can send us an email and let us know the true ins and outs of what a medic, you know, the etiquette of a medic from World War whatever, right? Just kind of give us a wee bit of history lesson. And if you do that, we will read it out next week for you guys and we will learn a lot more about medics. What else have you been watching on your big screen?
I've been watching, I started watching Terminator 2.
On the VHS I gave you.
No. Okay. On the DVD. It's not even Blu-ray, unfortunately. I don't have it on Blu-ray yet. But hey, I will at some point.
You will.
But yeah, I've got a Terminator box set VHS thing, which is the coolest thing I've ever owned. Got it in an antique shop, which is fucking depressing.
We done a full episode on Terminator 2.
Yeah, we were going to do another one. Remember, we were going to do part two.
It broke. We started it, but it broke.
Yeah. Oh, was that one of those times?
Mate, how far have we come, right? We never have episodes like that anymore that just don't air because they broke.
That's that fucking ruined.
Exactly.
You might as well smash your computer now, man.
I know. What other great movies have you been watching on the projector?
I watched The Grinch, the 2018 one.
This guy. Yes.
No.
This guy.
No. I watched the 2018 one. It's the one that my son likes. He likes the other one a wee bit, but he prefers that one because it's animated. And I'm going to be 100% honest with you, Kevin. I believe that the animated one is better and funnier.
You are talking out your arse. All this man cave stuff's clearly get to your head. Have you even seen the original Grinch? Paint. Hi. Mate, Jim Carrey's Grinch is the best Grinch, mate. That's my childhood. Like, see, just hearing the music from that takes me straight back, mate. The Grinch is my ultimate favourite Christmas movie, just ahead of Home Alone 2, Lost in New York.
Why Home Alone 2 over Home Alone 1?
Because it was better. Sorry, but I'm going to be that guy. My experience of both movies. Well, here's the thing, right? When I was growing up, Home Alone 2, that was released more... like more recent for me to see it when I was a child. So that's the one I saw before I saw Home Alone 1. And right. For me, you know that song? Nobody ought to be all alone for Christmas. That song.
I don't know that one, no.
That song, mate, takes me straight back to being a happy child on Christmas. And this is one of the things I love about movies is it doesn't matter what everybody says it. Doesn't matter if it was panned, like Mac and Me, right? It doesn't matter if you enjoyed watching that movie as a child. If it resonates with you because the time that you watched it, because your imagination when you watched it, the beauty of what it was when you were a child, then it can be one of your favorite movies, like Neverending Story. I will give you an example. We hosted Neverending Story the first time we ever took over that cinema, right? Nearly sold the place out. And Todd, who'd never seen, Todd, our friend, who you guys, if you go back to the archives, you'll see Todd appears on our episodes.
You can also watch a little mini documentary he made about us. The link exactly. will be in the description. It was quite a really enlightening little documentary.
Really good. It kind of highlights the past 2 years. Todd's a film student. Todd's a creator. So he basically came up to us after Neverending Story, and we're sitting there all happy as hell that we managed to. It was for us. It was one of those next step forward. We'd taken over a cinema, put on one of our favorite movies of all time, because you and I share that. Is something we share is the fact that Neverending Story holds a place in our hearts, right? Now, for even more than the reason it was initially, because that was actually our first, we fucking done this, right? And Todd came up and was like, that's the first time I saw that. You enjoy that? And I was like, we were like, oh, fuck aye, man. We're fucking hearts are beating in that after just watching it. Like, that was fucking shit. but we'll never see it as shit because we've had that history with it, right? We enjoyed the ride it took us on. And I actually was speaking to you know, the writer of Best Thanksgiving Ever recently. And I'd read the Q&A that he'd sent over, and the wee guy on the Q&A was kind of getting all the, you know, I don't think this and that and this and that. And I'm like, see, if the guy was on our show right now, I'd say, the guy that held the interview, I'd say, mate, sit the fuck down. Just watch it, right? I'll liken it to this. A dog, when it puts its face at the car, right, and the car's driving, goes, right?
What's it doing?
it enjoys the experience of the it doesn't question what it's enjoying, right? It just lives in the moment of enjoying it, letting that car take him where it's going, and it enjoys the experience.
I wish I could enjoy anything as much as dogs like sticking their heads at
right. So I liken watching a movie to that. Stop picking it apart, right? Nothing in this universe is perfect, right? But for a movie, it's interpretation. What does it do for you? And that's the way I've always watched movies. That's why some of my favorite movies, people would say, are fucking utter stinkers, right?
Like The Grinch.
We're going back to this, mate. Right, let me tell you right now. That is
what do you mean back to you? That's the reason we're talking about this.
Mate, that is... I know. That is one of my favorite movies of all time, right? Just everything about it, man. Jim Carrey.
I just find it uncomfortable to watch. I find the Who's off-putting to look at. I find the characters in general pretty irritating. Jim Carrey, although he's Jim Carrey, fuck off. I didn't see anything particularly appealing about him in that film.
It's when he's. It's really funny, mate. He's like this. So the wee lassie's saying to him, you know, Cindy Lou Who, she's like, you need to come and be the holiday cheermeister. And he's like, 3-5, I have loving, 4:45, dinner with me, I can't cancel. Like, come on, man.
There's certain moments that are funny. I actually did like the bit where he's tearing about the town in that wee car. It just makes me laugh because his legs are sticking out the side. And it's like, I've all seen somebody trying to ride a kid's toy, and it always looks hilarious. So that was quite funny. And there are a few lines that were decent, but it just doesn't hold the appeal for me. That
it's okay. I'll swing by, grab a handful of popcorn, and boast.
Do you know? It might just be one of the things that I was too old for it when it came out.
Maybe.
You know, and it doesn't hold that special place in my heart.
Hate, loathe entirely, mate.
I remember,
and this is for me when I think about The Grinch. I remember sitting when I was a child. I got given, like, it was Christmas, obviously, and I for Christmas, one of the things I got was a Grinch videotape. And this was back when it was called The Grinch and not Dr. Seuss's The Grinch Who Stole Christmas. Yeah, so I'll always call it The Grinch.
It was just called The Grinch.
The Grinch, yeah. But they repackaged it and made it The Grinch Who Stole Christmas. I remember sitting, I put the tape on, and I remember sitting with my Game Boy Color. I still got that to this day. My Game Boy Color, sitting playing Pokemon Blue while watching The Grinch. Just, nah, nostalgia. Man. That
nostalgia.
Right, that's where nostalgia is like a bone arrow. I mean,
nostalgia's got a lot to answer for certain movies, you know what I mean? There's certain movies that they really don't hold up today if you look at them objectively, but you love them anyway because you were brought up with them.
Yeah.
And Ever in the Story actually might be one of them, because it's one of these films where not a lot actually happens.
Mm. Well, you know? A lot of travelling.
It's like a really short Lord of the Rings.
There used to be pigs.
It's just there's special things about it. I mean, it just takes you back to the childhood, and the fact that it's all, you know, mostly practical effects and stuff like that. That's what makes these things charming. And I think that unless, like, my wee boy's not interested in Never End Story. And it's just because he expects
one of mine.
I think he just expects more.
Conditioned. He's been conditioned.
Aye. So,
you know, one thing I really love about Never Ending Story is the fact that I can rhyme off any line of it, and you'll hit me back with a response. He made it! He made it! I always said he could do it! But that's no reason for you to go falling out of the basket again! Ah, wench! Come on!
I couldn't remember the next line on that one.
Come!
I'm just totally fucked up. You can edit this out and do another one.
Oh, no, fuck no. That's getting kept in.
Do another one then.
Okay. I was just
sneaking away.
No. I mean, yeah.
I like children.
For breakfast?
Never.
I'm a luck dragon.
I'm a fuck dragon.
And my name is Shellcore. My name is Hardcore.
Hardcore the sex pest dragon.
Yes. Shagcore, man.
It's when she injects him, he's like,
man, it's the tongue. He goes like that. He goes, and he does it as well at the end when they're chasing the bullies. He goes, ah!
All right.
Ah! No wonder the kids are running. We just stumbled.
I swear, one of those kids is Jonah Hill and the other one's Paul Walker.
I know. That's when back when they were good bad guys, bullies, man, chewing their gum. Get back in there!
No, not again.
No. Where are you going, wimp?
Oh man, 80s bullies were class.
Just a bit.
Yeah. So one film that has aged pretty well is that one.
Braveheart.
Yes. It's still excellent. I mean, I know it's historically inaccurate as fuck, but again, on the big screen, just fantastic.
Well, need to do that. You know, we had David Mackay, who was in Braveheart, on the show recently.
The English are too many.
Aye, we did. That was a really fun conversation as well. 2 seconds. I'm going to have a sip of water that I don't have.
If we just bash through the show really fast, then you can go and get some. Which brings us to our next part, the next part of the show. And I'm looking forward to this. Marketplace Madness with J-Mac.
Yes. Now, again, for those of you not familiar, Marketplace Madness is a little section where I discuss something fucking stupid that I've seen on Facebook Marketplace. People go on there to sell their unwanted crap. This is actually a wee exception to this. Normally it's things through Marketplace I send you. This one was from a community page. Now, community pages can be even worse, okay? But the community page is where this one come from. But anyway, somebody had found a phone, a mobile phone, and posted it on that site. It was my local community page. And it was a photograph of the phone with the and it was captioned, "Anyone lost a phone?" It's like, well, if you fucking found one, the chances are somebody lost one. No other information. If it says, if it said anybody lost this phone, I found it at such and such a place, that would have made sense. But anyone lost a phone? No, it just magically appeared broke. You fucking moron. It's lack of detail is one thing that really gets on my chesticles. And honestly, like, anyone lost a phone? Well, yes. Yes, someone has. That's why you have it. You fucking dingleberry.
Mate, you know, that kind of reminds me when people go like this. If someone's driving license with a picture of the person and say it's, for example, Laura Davies. "Hey, everyone, found a driver's license. It says Laura Davies on it. Can you all share in the hope that she finds it? Why don't you just Facebook Laura Davies and look for the cunt you can see on the..."
Because they want to make it look like they're good Samaritans. Yeah, they're trying to get points. "Oh, that was so nice of you to do that. You're such a good person." You're not. You're an attention-seeking fuck.
Just leave a driver's license where it sits, man. It's nothing, David.
No, just do a bit of research. That's all it takes. All it takes. The chances are the person's on Facebook. You know what I mean? Most people are or have been at some point or know somebody that is. You know, it's... Another annoying thing is, I'm pretty sure your driving license has your address on it. So you could just take it to that address. Magic. It's magic how these things work.
Who'd have thunk it?
Who'd have thunk it? And so yeah, if you find something, it is nice of you to try and find the owner if there's no clues to who that person is. But when you're trying to find the owner, be a bit more specific with the information. "Anyone lost the food?"
This brings us to our main topic. Our main topic today is our favorite female leads, which, by the way, have always existed.
This isn't a recent phenomenon. This hasn't happened just because everybody's bitch moaning and complaining about it. This has been happening for decades. So enjoy the fact that these films exist and stop forcing a false narrative that it never has, because it fucking has.
It has. Enough. So we're going to talk about our favourite. Now I'm going
to enough.
Go... I'll kick this one off. One of my favourite female leads is an animated movie called Mulan.
Okay, who is it?
So far, Mulan is the female lead. And, you know, I think it's really good because it does tackle a lot of stuff, you know, a lot of issues that... And it's set way back when. So it is kind of... It has got that whole, you know, speaking when not spoken to kind of thing going on, right? She's treated less than a man by men, right, which is wrong. And you know, she shows more heart, and she flips the tide, just like the emperor in the movie says, "One single grain of rice is all it takes to flip the scales." And that's exactly what happens. She's that single grain of rice. She shows that, you know, women aren't just... And this was in a time where they were treated like that. They're not just homemakers, people there to see to the man, you know?
Yeah.
And she's got fight, she's got spirit, and she fucking, for me, growing up, watching this on videotape, VHS, again, something I got for Christmas, watched it over and over again. I could mouth the words bit by bit of that movie. It's one of my all-time favourites. Eh?
I've never seen it.
You've never seen the original Mulan? Mate.
Again, my son loves it, but I've never sat and watched it all the way through. I've seen bits of it, but I've never sat and watched it all the way through.
You're missing out, man. My daughters are all so right.
I can't be asked for female leads, man. That's what.
Nah. Mate, you're on fire tonight, man. No, she was, for me, bloody brilliant, like many other female leads that we grew up watching.
Mm-hmm.
What? Who are you going to bring up?
Well, for me, I'm going to say Sarah Connor in Terminator 2.
She was on my list. She was
in Terminator 2. Because the Terminator 1, she is pretty much a damsel in distress.
She becomes, you see her right at the end.
Right at the end of the film is when she becomes a strong
You're terminated,
person.
Fucker!
Yeah. You're terminated, fucker. There is an element of it in the first one, but more in the second one. She is badass in that second film. She's obviously getting very poorly treated in the mental hospital that she's in. See, be honest, like, when you look at it, you would have her in a mental hospital based on her story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you look at it with an objective point of view, it's like, yeah, that's what they do with her, because the story is bananas. A robot came back from the fucking future to kill me. All right, hen, you want porridge today?
Even though that there was footage, they do have the security footage of that exact robot that came back and destroyed the fucking police station. They do have that footage in the second one. Here's another thing.
There's no evidence in that footage, though, that it's
a robot.
It's just a guy.
Well, here's something for you, right? Just same guy. Just with you saying there, though, that Sarah Connor was only really, you know, a good female lead in the second one. I would disagree with you on that, and here's why. She's more badass in the second one, but she's still a good female lead in a movie in the first one. She is dams on the stretch.
Actually,
she does
right.
that really well.
You do care. You do care about what happens to her.
Mm-hmm.
And you certainly care about what happens to them in Terminator 2.
Mm-hmm.
And then the most recent one just came and shat all over its face for that.
Yeah, I loved to see Linda Hamilton back on the screen in a Terminator movie. I loved that.
Yeah.
Not big on how they went about it. It's like they really were like, oh, these two great iconic movies you've got, aye. Whoops. Fuck that shit. I'm no big on that. I would have enjoyed the movie if it was a different movie. There's what if. No, yeah, you know what I'm saying, though?
That movie would have been all right if it was any shite.
No, you know what I'm saying, though? If that movie, you can make certain movies you can make that don't need to be part of a franchise and would be good at standalone movies. When you fuck with something like Terminator and you bring a new concept or a new rule to it, it does kind of, you can't please the original fan base that way.
Yeah.
Right. And I think the reason people dislike things are because it's in the franchise, but if it was a movie on its own, you would have enjoyed it. But because you've got too much going on and you've got too much investment in what already came before it, doesn't it add up? And that's why fuck Terminator fucking, what's it
Dark
called?
Fate.
See, I've tried to erase it from my mind. You know, when a Terminator's cutting lemon to put in your beer and your, what's it, the...
We had the discussion about this and I think...
No.
We did. We had that discussion. That's for another time then.
Sorry,
for another time.
No, Terminator doesn't cut lemon for your fucking, your beer, your wee bottle of beer. A Terminator doesn't cut lemons. I'm sorry. I get where you're coming from, but nah, fuck.
Moving on.
Okay, so another female lead of mine.
Yeah, I mean, Sarah Connor, she's tough. You care about what happens to her. And she plays the part really well. You know, there's good acting chops there as well.
Which can I also point out something which also makes her an amazing, amazing female lead, right? Yeah. Is not only does she overcome the Terminator in the first movie, not only does she kick ass in the second, right? But let's look at it on a whole. She raised a strong fucking male, right? She gave herself and put herself into what became the leader of the resistance. Yeah. So how more of a strong woman can you get that avoids, well, if we're not including the new Terminator, right? Avoids her child getting shot with a shotgun, right? Or killed by a Terminator. But also raises him to be strong enough to lead the resistance, and, you know,
Rob cash machines being Atari,
right? And create a future for the human race. Like, he didn't have a dad, right? So he became that warrior through her, and that speaks more to her strong ass motherfucking character than anything.
Yep, and that was 36 years ago, and 29 years ago, respectively, that those films came out, and there is your strong female.
Exactly. And here's the thing. Let's make a new Terminator, but what we'll do is we'll erase them, and we'll erase Sarah and that, because they didn't do much, and we'll give them a strong female lead. Like, you had it. If any movie fucking had it, it was that.
What was funny though is they gave it a strong female lead and then gave her a boy's name. So you're going to save the world, Danny.
That'll show them. If ever they didn't need any extra, like, they kind of erased, they didn't erase, but they kind of were just like, with Sarah Connor, let's put you over here. And whoa, look at what this female's doing. Like, have you not been paying attention, for fuck's sake?
I did like the Mackenzie Davis character, though. I did like that. And she got strangely more attractive as the film went on, I found. Just for me.
I just think that movie had, if they were trying to prove a point with the whole, you know, strong female thing, which Hollywood have been doing the last couple of years, if they were trying to prove a point, they should have just gave another chapter to Sarah Connor. She was already fucking there, man. She's hit a home run, came back and fucked it down the throat of any guy. Do you know what I mean?
I like your choice of words.
She pulled her dick out and slapped it on some guy's face. Right. That's how fucking strong she was, man.
Yeah. So Sarah Connor's definitely on the list of favorite female leads.
One of mine that I don't think you'll have on your list is actually Julia Roberts' character in Sleeping with the Enemy. For the second half. she overcomes, you know, probably one of the worst things a woman would have to go through. And comes out the other end of it. She was beaten and she was treated like worse than what a human being should be treated like. And she fought and she outsmarted, you know, Patrick Bergen, who we've heard is a really nice fella in real life.
Top-notch bloke.
to quote a good friend, he was a fucking cunt.
I don't know if we can leave that in.
I said a good friend. They'll have to work that out. Todd's a good friend.
It was Todd.
Todd worked him.
I think that's going to be another segment called Blame Todd.
That'd be a good one. But I think she was a really strong female character, and she was really, I mean, you're rooting for her the whole time. She mm-hmm. shows true power in someone that's been abused, and stands up for the side of, you know, the abused.
There was actually a film that I think it came out in the early 2000s, and it was Jennifer Lopez that was in it. It was called Enough. Did you ever see that one?
Mate, any movie I see that's like Sleeping with the Enemy, I just go, it's like Sleeping. I'll just watch Sleeping with the Enemy. Yeah, I did see it.
It was all right, but it's pretty much the same thing. She goes away and learns how to be a mixed martial artist and then kicks fuck out her abusive husband.
Well, mate, get this right. There was a recent one called Invisible Man. Have you seen that? And I thought we were getting some Kevin Bacon shit, right? No. It's basically Sleeping with the Enemy, but with a bit of sci-fi in there.
Yeah, I quite liked it, though.
I enjoyed it. He's like, he killed himself, did he? What was that?
I just can't get over seeing the fact that Neville Longbottom is now this big handsome guy. Because he was possibly one of the ugliest kids I've ever seen.
Well, here's the thing with Neville Longbottom. Let me just tell you this, right? People say, oh my god, he's so good looking now. He's still not a good looking guy. He's just no a fucking troll anymore.
He's very good looking compared to what he was.
Compared to what he was, right? But there's the context.
He's a good looking chap. Yes, right, I'd give him one.
Well, who's your other strong female character? You're going to bring Ripley up, right?
Yeah, I mean, you can't not.
Another James K. Hey, James Cameron, another James Cameron. He's got a thing about strong female leads.
Then he has one try to jump off the back of a boat and another one. So, I don't know, kind of goes the other way.
Titanic, but
yeah. Damsel in distress. She does get stronger.
You see Rose Dawson, you know, you're like a whore to a gutter rat. I'd rather be his whore than your wife. Exactly. Right? You see the strong.
I slapped myself out of focus.
Slap the soul. Out. Oh man, slap just say a little focus. We got the bride and Kill Bill as well. You kind of forget Uma Thurman.
Oh yeah, of course. The first time I seen Kill Bill, I was absolutely blown away by it. I mean, it's got its issues. It's not Tarantino's best film, but it is fucking good. And the second one, actually, I prefer it to the first one. There's a lot less action in it, but there's a lot more story, a lot more Tarantino-esque dialogue. Apparently there's like a... I've never sat and watched it, but it's a cut of the film. It's the two of them together, so you basically just watch it as one movie. I think it's... What's it called again? I'm sure it's called like the Bride Saga or something like that. I can't remember, but it's like a super cut of the two films smashed together. Be interesting to watch that.
You know,
on the big screen!
Tarantino said about bringing Kill Bill back with a third, and he said the reason he wants
what's
to
it
do
called?
It...
Bring him back to life again? No. Can't he do that either?
No, he said that it would centre on... Do you remember that part in Kill Bill where... So Uma Thurman just kills someone, what's her name, and the toaster pops and the wee daughter's standing there and she goes, when you're older, come find me.
All right, yeah.
That's the basis of the third movie, and Tarantino said he needs to let her have a rest because so much happened in the first two that there needs to be a long time and none of that shit, but that daughter's coming for her, and that's Kill Bill 3, and I'd love to see that. The only problem is Uma Thurman's no keen on working with Tarantino again ever since Harvey Weinstein started touching a bit. And also the kind of crashed Uma Thurman's car and was just like, get on with it.
it was a bit like, stop whining, you bitch.
Aye, so, but you know...
And just on another note, sorry, let us not forget that David Carradine died because he choked to death having a wank.
Well, did that happen or did he get some Bruce Lee treatment?
Nah,
that what happened, aye.
That what happened. That's what happened.
Aye.
Aye.
Well, to be fair, we don't really need him for Kill Bill 3. He kind of gets the treatment in Kill Bill 2. So.
With what's it called? The 5-point exploding heart technique?
Yeah, I'd rather... No, it'd be much better if they walked away and shat their pants after five steps. Right?
Take five steps and then five steps and then five really wide steps.
Do you have any more strong female characters that are your favourite?
I do. They're in there somewhere.
I really liked. Do you know who I really liked?
Before I forget, this is a film I specifically wanted to talk about, was Hidden Figures. Have you ever seen that?
Don't think so.
No, it's set in the 1950s and 60s, I think, and it's basically about a group of black women who were working for NASA that nobody ever talked about until very recently. They were like super mathematicians.
I've heard of this.
And it's such a good film. It's such a good female story, and obviously it's black female, so it ticks two boxes for the PC brigade these days. But it's actually a fucking excellent film, and it's one of the ones where you watch it and go, why do we not know this story already? I think Octavia Spencer's in it, who's good in everything. Even if she's in terrible films, she makes them better. Like that Ma. I didn't even get through that film. I did enjoy The Witches, by the way. I did. I quite enjoyed it. It was, again, what I've learned to do now is separate things from the originals if it's a remake. And I include the book. And that's the only way to ensure that you look at it as a standalone movie. And I actually thought it was quite decent, even though it was disgustingly against disabled people.
You can see us talk about that in the previous episode. It'll be just before this one.
So, Hidden Figures, excellent film. Kevin Costner's in it, playing a guy straight out of that time, and he looks the part, he acts the part. He's excellent. But nobody shines more than the kind of central female characters in that film. Really, really well put together.
Good on them. I'm going to check that out. My my final one, which is just, again, it's just to name a few, but I really liked the trilogy of, well, I mean, there's four of them, but it's a trilogy of books. The Hunger Games, Katniss Everdeen.
Right.
Strong female character. You support her completely all through the way. And all the male characters are secondary to her. Because she's the, you know, the chosen one. I really enjoyed it. At no point was I like, oh, this would be better if it was a guy. At all. I think that's when you know you're onto like a really good, strong female character, is when you don't think this would be better if it was a guy. Not that I've ever thought that. It just doesn't... Do you know what I mean? I think people overthink this shit. You follow the story.